And They'll Never Tear Us Apart, written by Mizzy and read by Hello Moon. Summary. Biddy's got a secret long-distance boyfriend. It affects the housemates, frogs, and said long-distance Canadian hockey robot boyfriend in different ways. Ransom and Holster. Biddy, settle this for us, Ransom says. Biddy finishes drying his hands before shoving them in his pockets and trotting over obediently. The kitchen smells like peaches and cinnamon, and Ransom's stomach is trying its best not to growl, because the timer clearly says their next slice of deliciousness is at least 40 minutes away. Is this another body versus cockroaches debate? Biddy asks. Because I still want to know if either are gonna get into my kitchen. That argument is so 2015, Holster says, waving his hand in dismissal. Biddy tilts his head. It is 2015. Oh, Holster says, while Ransom smirks a little. Well, anyway, I found you, like, the perfect guy. Ransom narrows his eyes. No, I have. Holster turns to Biddy, palms out, and starts enthusing. He's an athlete, not lacrosse. Brian's a music student and plays guitar. Harry is an athlete, too, but he's one of the cool ones, you know, the ones with the car. Brian's got a 4.0 GPA. Harry owns a villa out in Spain. Brian! Wait! Biddy says, snapping his fingers to stop the two glaring at each other. Slow down and rewind. Why are you finding me perfect guys? Apart from the fact that Chowder keeps freaking out that your new second-fave hobby after baking is staring out of the house kitchen window and sighing? Ransom explains, slapping Holster's hand away when he tries to sneak up a little scrawled banner that he's written on the back of one of Ransom's stats problem sets. It reads, Date Harry, FTW. It's nearly winter, screw, dude. We gotta find you a dude. Holster nods fervently. It's our last year. We can't screw you with the screw. Gotta find you a good one to say thank you for all the pies. Biddy huffs. Just saying thank you is enough. I like seeing you all enjoy my pies. You don't gotta find me a date. It's fine. It's our duty as our housemate, Ransom says, wagging a finger at Biddy. Biddy pushes his lips together, winces, and then says, I'd rather you not. Ransom, having opened his mouth to opine about how perfect Brian is for Biddy, slams his mouth shut again. Bits, is Chowder right? Are you, like, secretly dying? Biddy looks alarmed at that. Lord, no! Oh, poor sweet summer child. I gotta find him. Maybe beat some common sense into his poor little head. Biddy turns as if he's going to go then and there. Domestic abuse can wait. Ransom hisses. We're gonna hook you up, Biddle. We got your back. Holster nods almost violently. Biddy's cheeks burn an interesting shade of pink. You don't need to. I already have a boyfriend. Ransom can see Holster's mouth go slack in the corner of his vision. It's matching his own expression of surprise. Your left hand doesn't count as your boyfriend, Holster offers. Gross, Ransom says. Proud of you, bro. He fist bumps Holster, temporarily forgetting they're fighting over who can pick the best bro for their bro. Oh well, being mad at Holster is as fun as liking Holster, which is pretty much the best part of life at Samwell. Biddy pulls a face, but he actually looks a little nervous, which, what the fuck? He's real, Biddy defends. I just can't talk about... He sighs loudly. It's new, okay? It's really new, and I'm happy. I'm so happy, it's so new that I don't want to talk about it and ruin it. And I know it's mostly phone and the internet, but it's at the point where, yeah, I can't date someone else, even if it's just for winter screw, and he's never find out, okay? So just, no dates. We should meet him, Holster says. You know, just in case he's not as hot as Harry, because I can totally still fix you up. He might not be as creative as Brian, either, Ransom says, glaring at Holster. That's not... Oh, Lord. Biddy shuffles. He lives a long way away, okay? It's kind of a long-distance thing, and I know. Everyone says it's tough, but I really... He's worth a try, okay? So no dates. Promise me. Holster edges a look at Ransom. Ransom hesitantly looks back. He really wants to know who chose the best bro for Biddy, but he also doesn't want to anger the pie gods and upset Biddy, so...
I promise.
Ransom and Holster say at the same time. Biddy looks a little on edge, but nods and smiles warmly at them both. Thanks, he says. I'm just... shy, I guess. I've never even... Lord, I've never felt like this about anyone. He means a lot to me. He sounds great, Ransom says, putting a hand on Biddy's shoulder and beaming at him. Biddy smiles back. Thanks, guys, Biddy says and turns back to the kitchen, padding over to the window and sighing. Something in Ransom's gut clenches. It's hard enough for him that his family's in Canada, and that's his family, not someone he's in love with. It's going to be a tough time for Biddy. We'll keep an eye on him, Holster whispers. Long-distance things don't really work. We'll probably get an answer to the Brian and Harry debate at some point before we graduate. Totally, Ransom whispers back. And the answer will be Brian. In your dreams? And I'm dreaming about Biddy's love life because we're interfering busybodies with no social life? Oh yeah, Ransom sighs. That. Nursey and Dex. Why are we sneaking? Nursey asks. Because the captains told me we had to be sneaky, Dex hisses. That probably meant to just, you know, take a chill, Nursey says. Oh my god, I should have left you downstairs, Dex says, rubbing at his temples. Shush. You've said more than I have, Nursey points out. Dex tries to remember that he's not allowed to kill Nursey, at least not during the hockey season. He tries not to resent the fact that Nursey doesn't have to remind himself not to kill his teammates. If Nursey ever kills a teammate, it'll be an accident of some sort. Dex eyeballs him again as they creep up along the hall. What are we listening for in particular? Nursey asks. Weren't you listening? As a rule, if we're not on the ice, no. You're the most infuriating person in the world.
So you say,
Nursey says, humming a little under his breath.
Yeah, I can hear Biddy's voice from here.
You can? Dex says. He stares at Nursey's face for a moment, at the thick 5 o'clock shadow that stands out prominently even though it's like 11 a.m., and Nursey definitely shaved a couple of hours ago. He shakes his head. I need to get a little closer.
Whatever you need, dude,
Nursey says, beaming. Dex glowers up at him, and then shuffles along the hallway. It's nearly a couple of meters until Dex can hear Biddy's voice more clearly. I miss you too, darling, Biddy says, and Dex nearly chokes. What the hell? You know I wish I could tell them. That's only because I'm so happy I wish I could just share it with the world. You're more important to me than anything.
So we're eavesdropping on Biddy calling his sweetheart?
Nursey asks. Dex startles. When did Nursey get so close to him? Nursey's breath is warm on his ear. Warm and irritating. Dex thinks viciously. He shudders, but he doesn't move away, because Nursey will just do that limpet thing and stay that close to him. Just because it bugs him, probably.
Ransom and Holster said Biddy's dating someone long distance, and he probably met online, and they're worried he's being abused.
If he's long distance, then how the hell is Biddy, Eric, if you come near my pie while it's cooling, you're going to lose a finger, Biddle, getting abused? Long distance smacks through Skype?
Not all abuse is physical, dickwad,
Dex hisses, illustrating it with some verbal abuse. And people in relationships don't always act the same as they do to their friends, or on the ice.
Yeah, okay, Nursey says.
Explanation to our unsubtle and shameless eavesdropping understood.
Oh my gosh!
Biddy says loudly and then laughs. And it's bright. It's so bright that Dex almost finds himself smiling automatically at the sound of it.
Jay-Z, not Jay-Z, you... Oh my gosh, you're tripping me deliberately. I swear, you're going to be the end of me. I'm going to laugh so hard that I'll fall through the floor. Yeah, I know, I'm easy.
He sounds happy, Nursey says, still irritatingly close to Dex's ear, his breath ghosting over Dex's skin in a way that shouldn't make Dex's stomach flip uneasily. "I love you too," Biddle says, and Dex's stomach flips again. Oh God. Oh God, no. Feelings shouldn't have names. Not names like that. "I think that's our cue to awkwardly shuffle away from here," Nursey says, his voice low and annoyingly fawn-sounding. "We shouldn't be listening to this." Dex, for just a moment, imagines Nursey saying Biddy's words in his ears. "I love you, darling." He shudders and pushes away from Nursey, swallowing. "Yeah," he mutters and starts to move. Biddy apparently doesn't have a problem with this long-distance boyfriend, and that's good, because it looks like Dex has a problem all of his own. He'd suspected for a long time that if he was to have a problem this year, it probably would be a problem called Derek Nurse. He just never imagined it would be a problem like this. "You can tell Ransom and Holster that everything's fine," Dex says when they reach the bottom of the stairs. Nursey frowns at him, obviously confused. But Dex smiles weakly at him before stumbling out of the house blindly, squatting down and resting against the outside wall and taking a few deep breaths, running his hands over his face. He nearly startles audibly when Nursey crouches down next to him. Nursey makes a weird half-huffing sound before asking, "Do you, like, get invested in everything in life like this? Like, 100% passion 24/7? "How else are you supposed to live?" Dex mutters. If he lingers on how irritating Nursey is, he doesn't have to think about the other things. Like how broad Nursey's shoulders are. Like how casually he fits into his own skin, gracefully accepting his own flaws and not fixating on them until they're fixed. "By rolling with the flow, dude," Nursey says. And Dex rolls his eyes, opening his mouth to say something disparaging. But Nursey leans over and takes Dex's hand in his, curling his long fingers around Dex's smaller hand. And the insult becomes a soft, "Oh," instead, because it feels amazing. "I guess I can see a little appeal in living like that," Dex slowly admits, and Nursey's smile is slow, like the sun waking up into a new morning sky. Lardo. "Bits, you're the expert. Fix this," Lardo says and shoves her laptop over the kitchen table. Biddy looks at her judgmentally when she shoves it on top of a floured surface, ready for rolling biscuits out. "It might work better if you don't shove it in situations where you can get flour inside it. That actually sounds impressively dirty," Lardo says, "but also impressively painful. That is not a kink I want." "I don't think flour is a kink anyone really wants," Biddy says. "What am I fixing?" "Skype," Lardo says. "You're a long-distance relationship guy. Skype is a long-distance relationship thing I want. Fix me up with it." Biddy's mouth moves like a dying fish for a few minutes. He blinks a few times. Then he says, "Shitty?" Lardo's eyes narrow. "Look, you're being shifty about who you're dating, and we get that, Bits. We're a close-knit group, and secrets can be healthy sometimes. But if you utter that name again, I swear to the hockey gods that I will gut you with my good exacto, and I won't even stop at the loss of what's probably the only functionally sharp blade on campus." "He hasn't called anyone at all, if that helps," Biddy offers, booting up Lardo's laptop and staring intently at the loading screen. Lardo makes a muted noise and her hand inches towards one of Biddy's favorite palette knives. Biddy shoves it out of her way and makes a loud musical noise as it scrapes across the table. "I said he," Biddy says. Lardo accepts the technical avoidance of the "do not say Shitty's name" rule. "And you'd know this how?" "Jack said Shitty was dodging his calls," Biddy says, wiping his hands on his pants before swiping at her trackpad. "He said it's happened before. Moments of dire stress. He'll keep his cell off, but he has to keep Skype on to pacify his parents and reassure them he's still alive." "Exactly why I need Skype," Lardo sighs. "He's probably got it set so he appears busy or offline," Biddy says, because he has to warn her not to expect an instant response.
Lardo growls, and honestly, for a moment, Biddy thinks she's almost going to try and check him, right here in the kitchen. Except after a long pause, she sags, and puts her head in her hands, and Biddy makes this soft, choked-off noise, which most people seem to get around crying.
How do you do this, Biddle?
Lardo's voice is muffled by her hands.
How can you let them get away with shit because you're not there every day to remind them of their absolute skill in making terrible life decisions?
Biddy sighs and pushes the laptop aside. He stands and moves around the table to sit next to her, and he opens his arms. She settles into the circle of them and rests her head on his shoulder.
You don't let them get away with shit, he says, keeping his voice level.
Sometimes there are times when you don't get to call them on it immediately, but you don't let them get away with it.
This is such a stupid thing to be doing. Lardo sighs.
Long-distance relationships are the worst.
Alas, they seem to be with the best people, Biddy says.
Lardo shoves her face into the soft material of Biddy's shirt and trembles for a handful of seconds, which feel like an hour, because Lardo's made of fucking granite, so for her foundations to be shaking like this is a little scary. If Biddy clings back just as tightly, Lardo doesn't comment on it.
Wait, Jack said Shitty was dodging his calls?
Lardo pulls back from Biddy and eyeballs him for a long moment. Biddy tries his best not to freeze, because guilt is probably not the expression he needs to be rocking right now.
I'm glad you're talking to other people, not just the long-distance BF, Lardo says, and Biddy then has to fight to not look relieved.
He's good for you. Tell Jack to call me, though. I miss his stupid voice.
I'll tell him that the next time we talk,
Biddy promises.
Maybe not in those exact words.
Lardo shrugs.
Either way, dude. Either way.
Biddy.
Oh, God, Jack says and moans, and Biddy is super glad that he got to Providence a few hours before shitting the gang, because if he hadn't had a few hours with Jack alone to take the edge off, but he would definitely be outing their relationship right this instant in a very embarrassing manner.
I forgot how good this was, Jack sighs, digging out another forkful of maple sugar crusted apple pie and making another long moan.
I know, right? Shitty says. You gotta dump your boyfriend and marry one of us, Bits. I can't have this recipe being shared outside the family.
Biddy laughs and avoids Jack's gaze because, oh, if he starts thinking about marrying Jack, then the embarrassing relationship outing would definitely be on the cards again, no matter how much Jack had valiantly tried to wear him out before the others got here.
It's going to be such a lovely week. It was Shitty's idea, really. Celebrate Ransom and Holster's graduation by hiring a minibus and hauling as many hockey-playing wellies from the good old days to Providence as possible to crash at Jack's pad and have a few great nights out on the town.
Biddy had already booked a Greyhound to Providence for that same week, but thankfully he had a plausible excuse for doing that. A bacon convention in town that Jack bought him tickets to immediately. Biddy would still get Jack all to himself for a few days, and it's been really nice having everyone together again under one roof. It kind of sucks having Jack so close and yet still so far, but their relationship is secret for a reason. Besides, sneaking around is kind of fun, Biddy thinks, his cheeks coloring a little.
Also, it might be great if Chadwick could stop squealing, "We're in Jack Zimmerman's apartment," every 5 minutes. But still, it feels good.
It feels right for them to be together again, even if only a few of them could make it. It's nice to know the Samwell men's hockey team promised to have each other's backs didn't expire on graduation.
Alas, I think Biddy's still spoken for, Lardo sighs.
Otherwise, I would totally be making a bid to try and turn him, just for the slim chance of pies like this for life.
He is right here, Biddy says, sparing Lardo a glare which just makes her smile toothily. But only Queen Bee has a chance of turning me at this point, I think, and even then...
He trails off, his cheeks coloring, as Ransom and Holster start making kissy sounds like they're not actual adults about to head off into a real grown-up college-free future.
Oh, right. You have a boyfriend, Jack says faux casually, and Biddy turns his glare momentarily to said boyfriend, Jack smirking a little, but not too noticeably.
I wouldn't really remember. You don't talk about him much.
Jack says, waggling his eyebrows. Biddy narrows his eyes.
I talk about him plenty, he sniffs.
To be fair, he does, Lardo says.
About how handsome he is.
And funny, Ransom says, clasping his hands together.
And dashing,
Holster joins in.
And how he makes Biddy so happy,
Shitty says, pretending to swoon into Lardo's side.
And he's kind of a massive jerk,
Biddy mutters, crossing his arms and trying to glare at all of them at once and failing.
And he's absolutely ridiculous.
Jack ducks his head to hide his widening smirk, pretending to be very interested in the remnants of a slice of pie.
Oh no,
Chatter says, looking genuinely distressed.
Trouble in paradise?
Wait, Chatter knows how to say something that isn't, holy cow, Jack Zimmerman, NHL player, washes his hands in the sink? Shitty says, raising both eyebrows and comically widening his eyes.
I drink 4 Red Bulls on the ride here,
Chatter mutters, his ears going pink.
My brain's working in circles.
Bro, Ransom says, reaching out to fist bump him in solidarity. That is the devil's drink.
We're fine, Chow.
Biddy reassures Chowder, who still looks somewhat upset.
I promise, my boyfriend is practically perfect in every way.
Practically perfect in every way. Ransom and Holster chirp together.
We know.
Biddy scowls and slumps down onto Jack's sitting room rug, his bare feet curling into the thick wool. He and Jack have had some good times on this rug over the last year, he thinks fondly. He eyeballs Chatter, who's lying on the other half of the rug.
Yeah, keeping his relationship top secret definitely has some great benefits, such as not inspiring Chatter to projectile vomit all over Jack's apartment.
Perfect, huh? Jack says. Biddy glowers.
I suppose he has his moments,
he allows.
Jack.
As nice as it was to have Ransom, Holster, Shitty, Lardo, and Chowder in his apartment, it's nice that the only thing they've left behind is a biography of Henrietta Lacks, Shitty, an autographed picture of Ransom, probably Holster, a dead cockroach in a plastic box with a post-it note reading, better roommate than 1/1000th of a body, probably Ransom, 4 dubious stains, regrettably mostly from Chowder, and a purple stain on the shower wall that will probably never wash off because Lardo tried to dye Shitty's mustache, and Shitty didn't react well to accidentally getting a little dye in his eyes. At least, that's the official story, and Jack is hoping it's true. It's also nice that they bought the excuse for Biddy staying behind, too. They've got 4 nights together until Biddy has to leave to go teach at summer camp, and Jack's planning to enjoy every second of it. It seems like Biddy's got similar intentions. He has Jack naked in minutes, and then turns Jack's head by flipping his speed switch and going achingly slow once they hit the mattress. Jack's a sweaty, heated mess, and he loves every second of it. Biddy runs a finger down Jack's chest, slow, slower, and carefully positions himself so his knees pin Jack's thighs in the meatiest part. Jack smiles, reaches for him, and then frowns when Biddy's hands close on his upper arms, pushing him down into the bed.
Nuh-uh, Mr. Zimmerman, Biddy says. You wanted to hear me talk about my boyfriend the other day. I didn't get the chance to say everything I wanted to.
Jack stares. It was just a chirp.
Which means I get to pay you back for it,
Biddy says fondly, and his knees tighten around the outside of Jack's thighs. Jack muffles a soft shout with his forearm. It's too good, like everything with Biddy is. His skin is hot everywhere they touch.
No. You want to hear about my boyfriend, so you're gonna.
Jack makes a noise instead of responding.
Look at me, darling,
Biddy says, and Jack slowly moves his arms. Even looking at Biddy is too much sometimes. Everything about their relationship is intense, sharply dizzying, always just on the edge of completely overwhelming. And yet Jack's never quite so calm when Biddy's back at Samwell. For those times, the 40-minute drive might as well be a million miles.
I'm looking,
Jack says, and his voice is already hoarse. Biddy picks up at that and smiles, predatory in the dim light of the bedroom. And see,
That's how Jack sees it. He can't help it. This isn't just Jack's bedroom. It's in Jack's apartment. Jack sleeps in it alone more often than not. But there's a Biddy-shaped space in it for all the days Biddy's not there.
Are you going to behave?
Biddy asks, slightly loosening his grip on Jack's arms. Jack opens his mouth, but there's something in Biddy's face that's persuasive, because he stills instead of moving to flip Biddy over.
I do talk about my long-distance boyfriend a lot at the house,
Biddy says slowly, smoothing both thumbs in union up the curve of Jack's arms. Jack shudders, and part of him warms violently. Biddy's hips snap forward a little at the feel of it. Jack has to bite back a smile when Biddy has to take a deep breath to steady himself.
No details in particular, just usually about how much he makes me feel.
Jack hisses, because Biddy punctuates feel with a touch that makes all his core muscles contract at once. Biddy's expression washes with obvious delight.
Sometimes I have to explain to the housemates why I'm smiling into nowhere,
Biddy says, moving his fingers across the expanse of Jack's chest in slow, sweeping curves, like he's tracing a recipe across his skin.
My boyfriend's a massive dork, really.
Massive, huh? Jack manages. Biddy shoots him a wicked smirk. He says, and slowly wiggles like he's finding it difficult to be comfortable. Jack keens, a thick sound that makes his cheeks burn.
I'll tell you a secret,
Biddy whispers.
Go on,
Jack says, captivated by Biddy's expression, because Biddy just looks so happy, and Jack wants to see that every day of his entire life. One day. One day he'll get to do that, and not via Skype or a tiny phone screen, but in person, like now. Every single day. Once upon a time, Jack had worried about the future, about what would happen to him when he was too old to play hockey, about what a person who lived for hockey even did when they weren't allowed to take the ice anymore. Now he thinks he knows, and for him, the answer is Biddy. The answer was always Biddy, even before Jack knew what the question was.
I'm actually much physically weaker than my boyfriend, Biddy says. But you actually wouldn't know if you saw us together.
Really?
Mm-hmm,
Biddy nods. See, he'd let me take him apart if I wanted to. Biddy says it casually, but, oh, it's like he's hit Jack a sledgehammer, because it's true. If Biddy wanted Jack in pieces, he'd let him. He'd hand Biddy the knife to do it, and he'd do it smiling.
My boyfriend is actually the strongest person I know, but what blows my mind is that he lets himself be vulnerable with me.
Biddy's smile is blinding.
Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by how much he trusts me.
Jack swallows, wanting to look away, but also wanting to stare, to mentally photograph how Biddy looks kneeling over him. It's kind of glorious.
There's so much about him that's amazing. He's strong, so strong, like you wouldn't believe. And not just his muscles?
Biddy illustrates the point with a few illustrative kisses.
His personal strength is incredible. Like, every single day, there's a mountain he has to climb, and he wills himself over it each and every day.
Biddy, Jack whispers, because it's too much. Not the maddening pressure building between his legs, nor the friction of feeling across every part of his body that Biddy touches, but the words, and how much Biddy sounds like he means them, like he really believes everything he's saying. Jack's eyes sting a little, and he forces himself to breathe deeply.
The trouble is, my boyfriend doesn't think he deserves good things,
Biddy says, and Jack flinches a little, eyes moving doubtfully to Biddy's gaze, but Biddy doesn't look away. He stares at Jack with a determined tilt to his chin.
He thinks he's worthless sometimes, which absolutely breaks my heart, and makes me want to scream. But I know those moments will pass, and I hope one day he can see himself how I can see him. Because if he saw what I see, he'd never doubt himself again.
Jack's voice is raw when he manages. Why? What do you see when you look at him? But he leans closer, his eyes scraping across Jack's face, and he breathes.
Everything.
for kissing him deeply and stealing Jack's breath away like he does every time their lips touch. It took one taste of Eric Biddle's lips for Jack Zimmerman to be hooked. Once an addict, always an addict. There are worse things to be addicted to, Jack thinks, finally reaching up to cup Biddy's face in his hands. He can't quite see through Biddy's eyes, but the way Biddy sinks into him and the noises he makes when Jack finally gets them both in hand is enough to make Jack believe in the possibility that Biddy is right. Or maybe he's not worthless. Biddy wouldn't waste time on anything worthless. Afterwards, Biddy attaches himself to Jack like he's some form of human limpet, and Jack laughs breathlessly into Biddy's hair. "You were right the other day," Jack says. Biddy makes a noise of confusion. "About that boyfriend of yours," Jack says. "He does sound pretty ridiculous." Biddy wriggles in his grasp a little and flickers him a dirty look before closing his eyes and burrowing more deeply into Jack's chest. "That's because he is ridiculous," Biddy huffs as Jack quietly thrills at the feeling of Biddy's breath against his skin, of Biddy's head lying so close to his heart. "Love him anyway, though," Biddy adds. Despite himself, Jack freezes. It's barely for a second. It wouldn't be perceptible, except Biddy is lying on him, and like this, neither of them can hide anything from each other. The thing is that somehow they haven't said that yet. Love has been implied, but not said out loud, not in person, only on the phone, and now it's here, in the still air of their bedroom, and Jack is so glad the others aren't around. "Are you crying?" Biddy asks, and Jack looks at him sharply. Biddy's eyes are open again. "No," Jack lies, and Biddy half smiles, but has a half stretch of a worried twinge, like he's worried he said the wrong thing, and oh, it's so far from the wrong thing. "Yes," he relents, "but only because I'm pretty sure your deaf, ridiculous, usually long-distance boyfriend loves you back." Biddy makes a noise of surprise, turning his head upwards. I didn't want to pressure you into... "I love you, Biddle," Jack says firmly, then, "And now who's crying?" "Shut up," Biddy snuffles. "I love you too," he adds in a rush, and then he leans up to kiss him. Jack laughs into the kiss and tugs him closer. The long-distance parts of their relationship suck. The short-distance parts, well, they're kind of amazing. They're kind of everything. Epilogue. Chowder. Chowder is kind of brimming with excitement, and it's not because of too many energy drinks. Because energy drinks got banned in the Spring Sea incident, which must not be named. Seriously, Dex, why'd you name it with so many hyphens? Oh my gosh, chill already. It's just, Chowder's had a great 3 years at Samwell already, and it's amazing. And he's so ready to follow their new captain, Dex. He'd won by one vote, mostly because Nursey was so chill he forgot to vote, and thus didn't vote for himself, thus securing Dex the win. And he's even stopped crying at the thought of Patsy being his across-the-hall mate instead of Biddy. So it's not that he's worried about next year. He's just sad it's not going to be the same. No daily Biddy pies. No hearing Biddy laugh as he talks to his long-distance boyfriend. No 6 a.m. practices because giving Biddy the C had been a terrible idea. It had been worse than Jack when it came to how early he could insist on team skating drills. The excitement is because not only is the full team still on campus, all 23 of them, with no one begging off an excuse to be home, but nearly half of the original team are back on campus too. Everyone who remembers Biddy fondly has come back to celebrate his graduation, and it's marvelous. That's not the most exciting bit. The most exciting bit is that Biddy promised his long-distance boyfriend was coming to the last celebratory dinner, too. It's not like Chowder's actually that concerned with most people's love lives. It's just Chowder's been living across from Biddy for so long, and overhearing so many half-conversations, that it sort of feels like Chowder's been living with Biddy's long-distance boyfriend, too. There's a boyfriend-sized space that seems to hover around Biddy, and a disjointed voice that Chowder's heard muffled through Biddy's phone so much that the house is going to be weird without it. The house won't be the house without Biddy singing Beyonce and flirting a lot with what's essentially to Chowder a disembodied muffled voice. Chowder's excited for the big goodbye, but he's also excited to meet the person the voice belongs to. Whoever it is has to be impressive. It's been 2 years since Biddy shyly asked them all to stop finding him dates to the winter screw. Chowder's had shorter relationships with knee pads, and those things are relatively sturdy.
Chatter's mostly staying away from the kitchen, though, although Biddy's managed to arrange to snag the main kitchens to cook the night's meal. Of course, Biddy's cooking his own final dinner. He has exacting standards and wants the best cook in the state to make his food. And it's just unfortunate that Biddy is the best cook any of them know. He's still using the house kitchen to bake about 1,000 pies, and anyone who gets close enough gets roped in. Patsy's down there dutifully washing dishes and rubbing butter into flour. That's because he's working for his dibs. He trots down the stairs at a carefully gauged time, and after sliding his jacket over his shark's jersey, he gets given a small pile of pies to carry over to the dining room. Patsy, Dex, and Nursey all go ahead, because Biddy has the last couple of things in the oven, and they troop over to where they need to be together. And Chowder goes first into the building, because he's the only one that can manage his pies in the door. He nearly drops all the pies in excitement when he gets the door open.
Jack!
Chowder yells, and oh, it's probably a little too loud, but when Jack turns to look at the source of the noise, he doesn't seem to look too upset. It's been about a year since Chowder last saw him in the flesh, back in Providence on the mini road trip Shitty had organized, and whoops, Chowder should probably apologize to Jack for the incident with the bag of burritos, but hopefully Jack's forgotten about that.
Jack Zimmerman, wow,
Chowder adds, because Jack's heading over and, well, yes, technically Chowder knows him, but he's seen him on TV so many times over the last couple years, and some magazine covers too, that it's hard for him to reconcile Jack Zimmerman, that guy who gave you his old bedroom, with Jack Zimmerman, NHL superstar.
Hey, Chowder, Jack says, coming over and effortlessly taking Chowder's pile of pies, gracefully lowering them onto the table and starting to lay them out. He looks practiced. Then again, Biddy's been baking pies his whole Samwell career like they're going out of fashion. Jack's 2 years that overlap with Biddy's college career probably gave him lots of pie-carrying practice.
How are things?
Great! I didn't know you'd even been invited.
Chowder beams at him, and then remembers Dex, Nursey, and Patsy are still struggling with their pies. He turns to them and flushes a little, starting to help pull pies from their arms.
Yeah, Jack says.
Well, I had time.
Your last goal was amazing, Chowder blurts. I can't believe you won the cup, I mean, he adds quickly as Jack looks a little startled. Not that you didn't deserve, because you totally did. The Falconers were amazing, and oh my god, I can't believe someone who touched the Stanley Cup is standing right in front of me watching me ramble like a crazy person.
Jack laughs, his cheeks a little pink.
I have a weird fondness for hockey players who ramble when they're nervous.
It's okay, he reassures Chowder. And, it's nice that I'm being remembered for touching the Stanley Cup now and not, other things with it?
Chowder frowns, and then his eyes widen automatically because, yeah, Jack's other record with the Stanley Cup is... Oh no, not something he wants to think about when there are so many delicious fruit pies in the vicinity.
Biddy turns up then, and Jack wanders off to help him with his pies, and Chowder sighs happily because Jack's an NHL superstar and is helping with the setup, and that's just so inspiring. He wonders how many of the sharks would do something similar. All of them, he thinks loyally, and he looks around at all the happy faces. He's going to miss so many people, but then Samwell's men hockey team still hasn't had a major hockey win for over a decade now, and Chowder's pretty sure his final year is going to be the year for it to happen. So at least there's that to look forward to. Inspired by Jack's behavior, Chowder looks for something else to do to help, and then he realizes something. There aren't enough chairs. He'd helped Patsy get the chairs out that morning, and there'd been enough for all the wellies who RSVP'd, and Chowder had picked out 2 chairs carefully for Biddy and his long-distance boyfriend. And now there aren't enough chairs. Well, Chowder reflects, maybe the boyfriend will just have to sit in Biddy's lap. Chowder's cheeks burn. Biddy, somehow picking up that Chowder has something wrong in mind, manages to kidnap him for some help in the kitchen. And Chowder forgets about the seat problem, and ends up forgetting for a long time because the dinner is incredible, and the company is amazing, and Chowder sits 1 chair down from Jack Zimmerman, so it's just a completely amazing night. Plus, Lardo and Shitty are there, and Shitty started his own practice, and Lardo has a painting hanging in the MFA, and Holster's just been traded to the Stars, which, though it's no Sharks or Falconers, is still pretty decent, so there are basically celebrities everywhere. Celebrities that Chowder knows. Celebrities that Chowder has unfortunately seen at one time or another in various disheveled states of undress. And then he remembers and blurts it out, because social filters, what are they? Biddy! You promised your boyfriend was coming! There's a lull in the conversation, and a lot of interested faces turn Biddy's way.
Yeah, come on, Captain Bits, explain yourself.
Dex says, we've had years of sappy one-sided convos. We want to know who they're with.
We don't want to be pushy, but you did say,
Chatter says, feeling incredibly self-conscious all of a sudden. Biddy's apparently feeling self-conscious, too, because he flushes. His ears even go pink. Biddy says.
I wanted to meet him, Chatter sighs. I was going to shake his hand and thank him for making my captain so happy this year.
Biddy manages, and he looks uncomfortable and turns to the nearest person for help, which happens to be Jack Zimmerman. NHL star Jack Zimmerman. Yeah, Chatter's brain is permanently going to be stuck on that point. NHL Stanley Cup winning players are supposed to stay on TV, or behind the glass if you're lucky enough to get tickets. Not sitting in nice suits and smiling oddly at you from a short distance away.
Hi, Jack says. His smile is somewhat lopsided.
Hi, Jack, Chatter says, scrunching his nose up at Jack, distracting him.
Help me convince Biddy?
Convince him to do what? Jack asks, tilting his head.
Oh, Lord, Biddy says softly under his breath.
Oh, Ransom says, and then bumps Holster's shoulder.
Well, that makes more sense than what we thought.
What we thought was cool, Holster says. Alas, reality. This is just like seeing your mom and dad hook up.
True that, Chitty agrees.
True what? Lardo says, and then Chitty nods his head in Biddy's direction, and Lardo's eyes widen, and she loudly says, seriously? Biddy turns to her and shrugs.
40 miles is a long distance when you don't have a car.
Yeah, but... Lardo's eyes narrow this time. Oh my god, you're a tweeb. I love you both, but... Dorks. You're both dorks.
Jack ducks his head for a moment, the cheekbones that GQ magazine once spent 4 paragraphs opining about. Chowder may or may not own 2 copies of that issue, but he likes to keep 1 copy unopened, okay? It's worth more that way.
Looking a little redder in the dim light of the dining hall. No one is making any sense, though. Chatter needs them to get to the heart of the matter. Stat.
We need to convince him to introduce us to his boyfriend,
Chatter tells Jack slowly.
Or convince his boyfriend to introduce himself to you, Jack offers.
Chatter doesn't know why rearranging the sentence helps, but...
Sure.
Hi, Jack says, and Chitty bursts out laughing. Chatter shoots Chitty a namesake of a side glance, and then turns seriously back to Jack.
I already said hi to you, Jack.
I'm Jack, Jack says. Chatter stares.
I know,
he says, and he wonders why everyone seems to be laughing. Even Biddy is burying his head in Jack's shoulder and crying a little in between some high-pitched laughs.
I know your name,
he clarifies. But that just seems to make everyone laugh more.
I play hockey professionally, Jack says.
Chowder continues to stare. He wonders how many pucks to the head professional NHL players suffer. After a moment longer of everyone laughing, Chowder asks Jack that question, because at least he can get satisfaction on 1 question tonight. Jack thinks about it.
Apparently less pucks to the head than college goalies, he says.
The end.